Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
It's good to be here with you, Brittany. I am looking forward to a weekend. It's all good. And if you guys want to check us out online, you can find us at theunionedge.com. There are podcasts up on SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes.
And joining us right now, back with us, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
It's always great to be with you, ladies. It's a highlight of the day, for sure.
Always, Buck.
And you brought a guest.
Sounds like you're having fun today.
Yeah, it's been a good day. There's plenty to rant about, so, you know, that's a little good, a little bad. It's a lot of news, but overall, yeah, good day, I think.
Yep. Yeah, so that's what you got to do, is you got to have fun at what you're doing.
That's right.
Well, so, today we have, in our efforts, as always, to educate ourselves and to help educate our not-yet-union brothers and sisters, we try to talk about some topics and let them know about the National Labor Relations Board, because there is help out there for workers if they just know where to go. And that being said, from Grand Rapids, we have the resident officer of the National Labor Relations Board, Tom Good. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Buck and Brittany and Angela, and hello to the Union Edge listening audience. It's always a pleasure.
So life is good, Tom? Things are going well? And
oh, yeah. Life's... Life's very good. Buck, you and I had a conversation a little while ago. I've got a couple of relatively newly arrived grandkids, and work is always interesting, so I have no complaints. It's a privilege to work for the NLRB, and I'm especially glad to be able to share a little bit of information now and then with you and with the audience.
Well, as we were discussing this via the social media, if you will, we were talking a little bit about some things that you mentioned that, and we know this from our days, that employees sometimes when they go to work for an employer, more often than not, they give them a big pile of stuff that they may sign on their first day. And a lot of times employees don't have a clue about whether it's fair or right or not. And sometimes you guys believe that they do go too far. Could you talk about some maybe the categories that falls under?
Sure. There are two areas recently where the NLRB has looked at some of these documents that we sometimes call them first day documents, because oftentimes, as you mentioned, employees are asked to sign them on their first day of employment, but they can show up really any time in a person's career. Sometimes employees are asked to sign an acknowledgement of a new policy, or it might just be something buried deeply in an employee handbook. But there are two issues in particular where the board and the general counsel of the NLRB have been taking a close look. One is in arbitration agreements. As an employer may ask an employee to waive any right they might have to take an employment dispute to the courts and say, instead, we want you to, let's use this private procedure, we'll select an arbitrator and present the case to the arbitrator as a way of saving court costs. And the other is in what we call at-will documents. But let's talk about the arbitration agreements, mm-hmm. because this is a big issue, and actually it's an issue that's heading to the Supreme Court. Let me explain a little bit that it's not unlawful for an employer to ask an employee either on the first day or any time in their employment relationship. Here we would like you, we want you to sign something saying that any employment dispute you have with us, we're going to take to arbitration and not to the courts. And actually, there's another federal law called the Federal Arbitration Act, the FAA, that regulates that and to some extent, you might say, encourages it. And that's fine as far as it goes. However, some of these agreements that we have seen bar employees or prevent them or the employees to waive the right that they have to take employment disputes as a group action. a class action or a group complaint. And, of course, listeners to the Union Edge will know from our earlier discussions that that employees have a right under the National Labor Relations Act. It's a fundamental right to act as a group or to plan to act as a group or even just to appeal to one another, to act as a group to try to deal with work-related issues and to try to improve their working conditions, wages, and benefits. So when we see an arbitration agreement where an employer asks an employee to give up the right to act as a group in that forum, in arbitration, we think that there's a problem with that. And there was a case that, that the board issued in 2012 called D.R. Horton. And the board said that a policy or an agreement that prevents or precludes employees from filing employment-related collective or class claims against the employer, either in court or in these private arbitration settings, that those agreements unlawfully restrict the employee's right under the National Labor Relations Act to act together.
Tom, give us a couple of examples of issues. I mean, we understand what they're giving up, but give us an example of something that may fall into that category.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if an employee in a sales department finds that her commission suddenly and without notice has been reduced, and she asks her coworkers, "Hey, I see that the commission I was expecting for last month's sales isn't what it ought to be. What about you?" And they say, "Yeah, the same thing happened to us, and it was kind of without notice." They feel, "Hey, there was a contract or maybe an implied contract that our commission rate was going to stay the same, and so we want to sue when we're going to court." Because this is a breach of contract, and they find an attorney who says, "Yeah, well, I'm willing to represent you, but I see that you signed an arbitration agreement that prevents you from pursuing this as a class, as a group of two or more. So you all have to go individually before into arbitration to resolve this dispute, and you can't go into the courts as a class." That would be an example of where an agreement like that would step in and would prevent these employees from acting together, even though they have a common interest in this change of policy.
The question to say that I was going into an interview or into an employer, or even that I went through the interview and came for the first day and they handed me this stuff and I happened to do my due diligence and read it, which we all should, and I look at this part and I see where it says to give up my rights to go to court or to bring up a grievance, and then they say okay, and you say I'm not going to sign that, and they say okay, then you're not going to work here. So what then?
If the agreement the arbitration agreement they ask you to sign prevents employees from pursuing those employment-related issues as a group or as a class, then the labor board's view right now is that that's unlawful. And now I have to phrase it that way because this issue is going up to the Supreme Court next year. The Supreme Court is going to put it on its docket. There will be a hearing sometime next year. And so we now have a fully constituted court with 9 judges. We expect that they will make a decision as to whether the board is right about this. Now, this issue has percolated up in several regions of the National Labor Relations Board, and the board's decisions have been reviewed by a number of circuit courts, and there is what we call a circuit court split. Mm-hmm. There are, I believe, 3 circuit courts, including the 6th Circuit, our circuit that covers us in Michigan, and that's due to a case that actually came out of this office very recently. So some circuit courts have said the board is right about this. Others have said no, that Federal Arbitration Act really should trump, excuse the expression, should trump the National Labor Relations Act and allow employees and employers to enter this sort of an agreement. Employees should be able to waive that right if they want the job.
Interesting. So I guess what brought all this is, so in other words, this was just another effort by the employers to basically have complete control of their workers, or that can be the only thing?
Well, I think if you asked employers, they would say that these arbitration agreements work to everybody's benefit, that arbitration is less expensive, it's less time-consuming, you get a faster result. Now, other folks have criticized these arbitration agreements, saying that the arbitrators realize that the cases come from the employer. Sometimes the employer bears a majority of the costs, of the arbitrator's costs, and they feel that the system generally is stacked against employees. I suppose the Supreme Court will probably take those factors into account and will weigh them out. But from our point of view, the statute, the National Labor Relations Act, is clear that employees have a right to act as a group, and that's both in the should be in the court and in any of these arbitration. They should be able to help each other for mutual aid and protection in trying to deal with their employer over labor disputes.
It's kind of like you said something about the employer. First thing that comes out of their thought pattern is that it's effective and it saves money. You know, it's kind of like telling someone, you know, who's working in a tank, you know what I mean? I know it's dangerous and everything, but buying you a gas mask would be too expensive. You know, it's unbelievable. And it's really what it does is it takes advantage of workers to the hilt. So, interesting. So, do you see a lot of these cases, Tom?
Yes, in fact, we do. We've seen quite a few of them. I'd be surprised if there was any region in the NLRB where we haven't seen a case like this, because these arbitration agreements are fairly common, and I'd say they're becoming increasingly common out there in the workplace. And not just brand new employees. There are some employees we've seen who've been working places for 10, 20 years, and rather suddenly and unexpectedly, a supervisor or a human resources manager is asking them to sign one of these agreements. And I suspect most employees are signing without much thought, but some employees are bringing them to us. And if they stop employees from acting as a group, the NLRB is going to take a very, very hard look at that and may issue a complaint against the employer.
So your advice is if they get one of these pieces of paper to sign that has to do with that, maybe the first thing they should do is first call they should make to the NLRB then.
We're happy to discuss those issues with any employee who calls, absolutely.
We're speaking to Tom Good. He's of the National Labor Relations Board in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're talking about arbitration agreements and employment disputes, and we're going to take a little break. You're listening to the Union Edge. We'll be right back.
The Alliance for Retired Americans brings activists together to educate and mobilize retirees around local, state, and national issues. Members work to strengthen three planks of retirement security: Medicare, Social Security, and pensions, and to improve the quality of life for current and future retirees. Their priorities include expanding Social Security benefits. The threats to Medicare, Social Security, and pensions are real, but the Alliance uses grassroots engagement and direct outreach to members of Congress to fight back. Recent successes include preventing a 50% Medicare premium increase that would have affected millions of retirees. Join the Alliance today at retiredamericans.org and help ensure that seniors' issues like high prescription drug prices get the attention they deserve.
My name is Ruth Roosie, and this is how I live United. I read to children as part of United Way's education program. It helps them create links between language and literacy and prepares them for a better academic future. I figure I have the time and they have the need. My name is Ruth Roosie. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, America. we need to have a little talk. We've got a lot of food in this country. We've got so much food that we can't eat it all. So how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids who need it. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM, the union representing bakery workers. We have been joining forces with our members and thousands of community partners across America to end corporate exploitation of workers across the globe. Our campaign has its roots with the Mondelez Nabisco's firing of 600 workers at its Chicago bakery and replacing them with workers earning poverty wages in Mexico. College and university student activists have reached out to our global campaign, and the BCTGM is proud to welcome the more than 20 million students across America as partners in defeating this greed-based business model. Student voices have changed the world, and these future community and national leaders will add energy and heightened spirit to the BCTGM's consumer boycott of Mexican-made Nabisco products. Join the fight. Help change the world. Invite the Nabisco 600 team to your campus by visiting fightforamericanjobs.org. Follow us on Facebook at Nabisco 600 BCTGM Local 300.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
It's good to be here with you, Brittany, and a quick shout out to PSEA and AFGE for supporting the show. We appreciate it.
And joining us right now, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio back. Buck, welcome back.
Great to be with you, ladies. Always a pleasure.
Great to have you, Buck.
And you brought Tom Good with you today?
I did. Tom is the resident officer of the National Labor Relations Board in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We've been talking a little bit about the agreements to arbitrate employment disputes, and also we have going to have a little discussion now about at-will policies, and really, what is at-will to the listener out there, Tom? What does that mean?
That's a good. I'm glad you started with that question, but I think because a lot of people hear that phrase and aren't sure what it means, and sometimes it gives them an unnecessarily restricted view of what their rights are. Generally, what at-will means is that there's no law that prevents an employer from terminating the employment relationship, provided they don't violate the law in doing it. The way it's often expressed is just as the employee is free to leave a job anytime she wants, doesn't need a good reason, doesn't need any reason to leave. People can leave, pick up and leave anytime they want. But similarly, the employer has a right to terminate the employment relationship for any reason, a good reason or a bad reason, as long as it's not an unlawful reason. And there are really only a handful of unlawful reasons when it comes to terminating someone. Now, we from the NLRB and your listeners know that it's unlawful to discharge or fire somebody because of their union activities or because of those concerted activities that we talk about. But there are civil rights laws in the country and in most states that prevent discrimination for a few other reasons, because of race, color, gender, one's national origin, one's religion, their age. Age discrimination for people over 40 is unlawful. Disability or, in some cases, genetic information or family medical history. But once you move beyond those reasons, just bad chemistry between an employee and the supervisor is not an unlawful reason to terminate someone. And so this basic principle is summed up in the phrase at will. That means that you can leave and they can terminate the employment as long as they're not violating the law in doing that. Now, the way this comes to the NLRB, though, is that sometimes in an employee handbook or in a statement on the wall at the workplace, there's a reference to the at-will policy, and somebody reading it might come away with the impression that can't be changed. Well, it can be changed. When, for example, when employees decide to band together and seek union representation if they go through an election process or if the employer recognizes a union and as the representative of the employees and they reach a contract. It's very common in collective bargaining agreements that the employer will agree that they can only discharge you for just cause. They agree they have to have a reason, a fair reason for firing somebody. And that puts a little bit of a burden on the employer when they fire somebody. They can't just say, oh, you're at will, I don't have to give a reason. They would have to explain to the union and the grievance procedure and maybe to an arbitrator why they had just cause for firing somebody. Now, the policy that the employer puts in their handbook or on the wall might say something like, this is an at will, your employment here is at will, and that cannot be changed. That's where the problem comes in. If an employee reading the at will policy gets the impression that there's nothing they can do to change the at will status, the NLRB, or at least the General Counsel, has argued before the NLRB at this point that's going too far. There has to be something indicating that perhaps the president of the company, the CEO, the board of directors could alter that by signing a collective bargaining agreement, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as the policy indicates there's some out. That the policy is not always and forever an at-will policy, and that it cannot be changed. Then those policies are okay in the view of the NLRB.
Well, I guess the question is, could you explain a little bit more about when you said to change? What would it change to? Say, for example, you're asking if an employee could become for the same employer not an at-will employee. And when you said,
well, yes. For okay. example, there's a case that was actually tried before an administrative law judge at the NLRB. It was it's called American Red Cross Arizona Blood Services.
Uh-huh.
The employer explained that your employment is at will. You can be fired for a good reason, bad reason, or no reason. And then it went on to say and ask the employees to sign something acknowledging. I further agree that the at-will employment relationship cannot be amended, modified, or altered in any way. And they wanted employees to sign that. Well, we looked at that and we said that locks an employee in. An employee thinks that, well, there's nothing I can do to change that. I'm always and forever going to be an at-will employee.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, that's just not the case. Employees always have the right, if they wish, to seek collective bargaining, and when they sit down, the employer is required to bargain with them over things like their at-will status. We want a grievance procedure, and we want to the employer to at least have to explain why they fire somebody and give us a reason, a just reason when someone's being fired.
So the answer is if you go to an employer and you get a folder full of papers, and you start to get confused on basically what was going on with the arbitration and any statement that says that, well, you can contact the National Labor Relations Board. How, Tom?
Well, wherever you are, you can reach us at our toll-free number, which is 1-844-762-6572. Let me give that again. It's 844-762-NLRB. We also have a website, and you can find your local NLRB office and phone number where you can talk to someone like me and try to answer your questions about your rights under the law. You can go to our website, which is www.nlrb.gov.
That being said, Tom, thank you. Tom Good with the National Labor Relations Board in Grand Rapids. Thank you very much for joining us today. We really do appreciate it. It's always a pleasure.
It's my great pleasure. An interesting topic today, Buck. Thank you.
And that being said, for Charles Showalter and Angela Bachman, Brittany Sheets, Carol DeMee, I'm Buck Gino, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.